If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
IGN Playlist is a new home to your game library. Rate games, share lists, and log your game time powered by How Long to Beat. Sign up for early access today at playlist.ign.com.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief. Out.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. It's a palindrome this week. We kick off the year, episode 525. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined as always by Stella Chung. Happy New Year, Stella.
Happy New Year. So excited to be here again. First episode of the year. So excited.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know about you, it feels like I haven't done this for like 3 months.
Yeah, it feels like it's been at least a month, and I'm just like, okay, right, we got to get it to talk about games. Let's go.
I know, get back into it. Destin Legarry, how are you, my friend?
Bam, doing good, Ryan. How are you?
Good. We were just talking before the show that Destin is going to make us all cookies with his new cookie company.
Yeah, working on it. There's a lot of things you have to do to set up a cookie company. So, yeah, it's something my wife and I wanted to do.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I love that. That is love the entrepreneurial spirit. And I actually seriously will buy your cookies. As soon as you make me a non-dairy version, that's my only hook. I gotta
use
almond
milk.
I'm already putting in a special request and you haven't even barely started. But. Well, let's start with the holidays. I mean, we're lucky to have a couple weeks of downtime. Did either of you spend any time with your Xbox playing games, catching up on the year? For me, I didn't catch up on anything because every moment I got to play a game was spent playing Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I catch up, you mean 120 hours of Halo.
Then right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's all there was to it. I was so happy to see SWAT get added, which, by the way, I refuse to call it Tactical Slayer. That's not a thing that this old Halo fan is going to do at any point in time. Destin, it's SWAT. It's so good, right?
Yeah.
It's never been bad. And now in Infinite, it just feels so good.
Yeah, I have been playing a lot of Halo. I do ranked every once in a while. I really, really like the game. And I'm so happy that it really feels like Halo's back. They had the competition series also during the break, which was really, really good. I'm seeing all these YouTube videos pop up about like little strategies, and I'm just having a blast. I love SWAT, Ryan. I love pretty much all of the modes. Big Team Battle has had some issues over the break. And when they have the weekly challenges tied to it, it's kind of like, could you not do that one? Yeah, but besides that, it has been so good. And I'm at like 58% completion to the campaign, which has been really good. On Legendary, it is so fun to get the Razorback, give all the Marine snipers and just destroy everything, even on legendary. And now I unlock the Sentinel beam, which is like a meme.
Oh, yeah.
But it's stupid powerful. It's like it's so fun. Yeah. So I've just been like, I just unlocked all the skulls and I'll stop so everybody else can talk.
Well, but yeah, Stella, I want to hear, since
I love it.
Stella, you know, you're newer to Halo than Destin and I, and you know, SWAT has been a staple for a while, and now for some reason renamed Tactical Slayer, which again, I'm not on board with, but
yeah.
Have you spent any time in the SWAT playlist? And if so, I'm curious what you think of it.
I tried, and I'm not going to lie, it's not my favorite. I think maybe it's just because I'm not used to the pacing of the game, but right. I feel like it's very, very fast, which I'm not against. I like fast paced games, but it just feels like I don't really have a chance unless I really study all the different hallways, all the different angles that you can peek, because if someone gets a peek on you, you're pretty much dead and you don't have a chance to really look at where you get shot from. So it's really understanding the map, I guess, which is why it's Tactical Slayer. Like, you have to be really smart about it. So I think I just don't know the game that well yet. Like, I'm not, like, with the maps, I'm not like, oh, this can look into sightline A and B. I don't know all that stuff yet, all the angles. But it kind of reminds me a lot of CSGO, which I definitely really liked and got into when I studied all the different pathways and stuff. So it's just something I'm definitely going to have to spend more time with. But I'm not going to lie, it's not my favorite game mode.
I mean, it is. It's a different flavor of Halo. So I totally understand and respect that it might not be your favorite compared to the other modes. I mean, but yeah, like you talk about the sight lines. Like I would say there are some maps where I don't like Tactical Slayer or SWAT. And some maps I do like. I will say I've played enough now and the game's been out long enough. I would say Behemoth is my personal least favorite map for pretty much everything. I just haven't had as much fun with that one. But with SWAT specifically, I really like Launch Site because the battle rifle, it's a long enough map in certain stretches where the BR isn't quite going to cut it from super long range. So it gets really interesting where you kind of have to get a little closer, and I've been having fun with that. The other mode added, the new playlist added, that I've been spending probably 80-90% of my time in, with the rest just a mix between SWAT and as Destin mentioned, big team battle has been a little problematic over the break, but Fiesta. I love
so
Fiesta.
Fun.
I mean, I've loved it since Halo 2, but I just dive in there because I feel like it's a little bit of an equalizer in the sense of, you know, like Stella, you're a physically better Halo player than I am in terms of your reaction time, your aiming skills. You are better, but for us olds, Fiesta kind of levels the playing field a little bit because depending on what weapon you get, it gives the edge back to your brain a little bit rather than your reflexes of like, okay, if I've got this weapon, you know, what am I going to do with it? So I've just been having a ball running around in Fiesta. And Stella, have you been partaking in the Fiesta at all?
Yeah, so I was doing it because of the event challenges when it first came out. And it's really fun. I mean, there are some moments where you're just like, oh my God, three people on the other team have hammers. What are we going to do? Yeah. But it's like, that's kind of part of the fun. You can't really be mad because it's random.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a really nice way to warm up, I think, because it cycles you through all the weapons. It's really nice. Again, you get screwed over on weapon drops, but it's okay because everyone else also gets screwed over. So it's, you know, I think it's a really fun mode. I really enjoy it.
Destin, any Fiesta over your holiday break?
I have the worst luck when it comes to the weapon spawns on Fiesta, but it is a fun mode. Geez, I don't know which mode's my favorite. Maybe Capture the Flag. Yeah. Like, honestly,
I love it.
You can't beat it.
Yeah,
it's the staple.
Yeah, capture the Flag's pretty fun, especially when you just roll over the other team.
Oh my God, it's so fun. I honestly, I really like playing defense. A lot of people are like, yeah, I want to be the one to get the flag, like be the quarterback. And I'm like, I like playing defense because that's also a very important role. And people kind of forget that. And I'm just like, hey, man, the entire team just came over here. Where is my team at? So I will always play defense. I do not mind defending the flag.
I am with you, Stella. I will happily D up with you anytime because it. I had a game, my last game before I left for Arizona to visit my parents at the very end of the year. So it was whatever the night before I left. I'm like, all right, I want to end on a good note. I go into big team and I get CTF on fragmentation, which, by the way, I would say it's my favorite of the three big team battle maps so far. I know it was the first one we got in the beta, but I think for me, I enjoy it the most. But yeah, you know, you had a group of people rush the enemy team's flag, but I just went over and guarded our flag with, and thankfully I had a couple of people with me because they rushed it and we totally just stuffed them because I grabbed the Ravager that was hanging out. That's like,
oh, nice.
Right there near the flag. I'm like, okay, well, come on in. I'm ready for you. and then sure enough, like that cleared the way for, we stopped their advance and we ended up wiping them out 3-0. It's so much fun to have a good defensive stand and know that, like, all right, we passed the baton to the guys on the other side of the map. You got to bring it back. It's just the best.
I think people forget that with playing defense, if you can get a team wipe on the other team that is rushing you, you can kind of just run over to their flag and grab it and get a head start on that. So it really just snowballs. So play defense, people, please.
Yes. Destin, I guess one more point I would make on Fiesta that I just so much fun with. I do like that it's a double dice roll where, you know, if you spawn with like a plasma pistol and you're like, you just want to like throw yourself off the edge of the map, you just hit Y. And then you have a second random weapon. And then so sometimes you get your default weapon is garbage, but then you hit Y and you're like, oh, thank God it's a battle rifle. I just love that about Fiesta so much.
I feel like they give you interesting pairings that usually work together. I can't think off the top of my head where I got like plasma pistol and carbine. Usually it's like a plasma pistol and like a sidearm or something that could be utilized in conjunction with the other weapon.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that. And it kind of makes you think about other weapon combinations that you might not have in the like otherwise. So I like Fiesta a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great. Kudos again. You made a point earlier, Destin, about Halo, like just being back. And I really think, I mean, we've been talking about that for a while now, but I think we're at this point, we're into the new year. The game's officially been out for a month, basically. Multiplayer's been out for a month and a half. And it is still being played. Everyone's still talking about it. Everyone's still loving it. Not to speak ill of other games, but I think just contextually, it certainly hasn't hurt Halo that I feel like Battlefield has kind of face planted and no one's really talking about that. And Call of Duty is having a year where sure it's sold great, but nobody's like really, I feel like the more vocal kind of hardcore community is not really all about Call of Duty. Like, I feel like Halo is just, it is great. And its FPS multiplayer competitors have kind of, have stumbled a little bit. So it is all combined to have this really great moment for Halo where everyone's actually looking at it and giving it a chance. And it is making the most of that chance.
This is the start. And I think it's only going to get better and better from here as they've already made like small improvements, like the XP system that have had a positive impact. And I think they're going to continue improving from that point. I cannot wait to see where Halo goes. I played like every day at break. I love Halo Infinite.
Did you buy the battle pass yet, Destin?
I bought a battle pass. Yes.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
The only thing I've spent money on. And I haven't bought anything in a game in a long time, but I guess a battle pass is okay.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be at it for a while. Yeah.
Did you get the cat ears?
I did.
I knew you would.
And I got the daisy. I got the little daisy. I don't know. I think the game is doing really well. I think people are still having fun with it, but I know that there are still, again, a lot of the dev team, they were taking a break, well-deserved break. That's great. So I'm very excited to see how they're going to react to all the community feedback that they've been getting. A lot of the cosmetics, I know people have not been really excited about, which me included as well, because I feel like a lot of the items, not the cat ears, have been a little bit.
Battle pass sucks. Like,
yeah, the battle pass, it's not something that I'm interested in buying. And I the cosmetics are also very bland, especially the weekly and daily rotations that we see. It's so lackluster, and we don't have a lot of options. And the way that the event battle pass, I guess, the event passes work, it's really weird. And I know that the incentive is, the goal is to try to incentivize people to play the event and engage in the event and all the challenges every time it comes around, but you can't give them the same thing. And having the event pass capped out like each week that it's live is kind of a weird feel for me. So, and I know a lot of people are also kind of confused about that, because they're just like, well, I should be able to get this armor. Why can't I get this armor? It says this event says I can get it. And then you look at the actual event and it's like, oh, this is 2 out of 10 things that you have to do. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want you on there every day getting your fix.
I will say, you just reminded me still of one other thing, little observation before we move on from Halo. And that's, what I have learned, and maybe this is just my unique experience and this doesn't apply to anyone else, but I feel like I've joined so many games where, you know, it's doing the little like teammate intro at the beginning, with the little animations, and my teammates have like the tons of unlockable cosmetics. They're like, okay, you guys have played the game a ton. We're going to do great. You guys must be really good. And then I get in there and like, I'm the first or second best player on the team. And I'm like, but how did you like, how are you not? You should be better. I thought you were going to carry the team more. So what I've learned is that looks can be deceiving with your armor in Halo Infinite. Because, you know, people with just like the plain gray Spartan suit can totally crush it. And people with, you know, the shiny HCS like white and red armor suit can be not great too.
Well, it's because people don't play the objective. Oh my god. I can go on a whole spiel about that. Anyways.
Anyway.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons and Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
All right, let's talk about some news. As you would expect, it's been relatively quiet here over the holidays, because really, it's not just IGN. The whole games industry takes a break. I mean, a lot of industries sort of wind things down. By the way, if you haven't watched the Xbox documentary that Microsoft put out right before the holidays, it's free on their YouTube channel, you know, youtube.com/Xbox. Power On, the story of Xbox. It is a 6-part documentary. Each part's about, 45 to 60 minutes long or so. Check it out. It's really interesting. They've got interviews with pretty much all of the key players from over the years. They didn't get Bill Gates. There are clips of Bill Gates, but you know, there's Seamus Blackley, friend of the podcast, is heavily featured early on. They even got Don Matrick, and I literally have not seen an interview with Matrick since he left Xbox. He golden parachuted back to Canada and has retired with his riches, but he's featured in this as well. And the biggest celebrity of all, Destin Legarry, makes a brief appearance as well.
The Don Matrick get is pretty big. I think I never would have imagined him coming back to do it, but
he was
also the one. I'm in there for a second. I don't even remember doing that. I think Damon was sick, so
yeah. They used a clip of an IGN video. They actually did interview me for it, so I'm in there on the last 3 episodes, which was kind of neat to see. I fully expect. First, I thought they would just cut me out entirely. And then a friend at Microsoft was like, no, you're in it. You're in the final cut. And I thought, okay, well, I'll be in it for 2 seconds once. No, I'm in there a few times in the back half, of the episode.
So. Half so. The documentary is Ryan McCaffrey.
That's right. It's all through my perspective. Yeah. No, I mean, I talk Halo 2, of course, because that's
I just started that over break. I finished Combat Evolved, and I started. Okay, I'm so sorry. I hate to derail it, but it is so funny. So I was playing through it on stream, right? And you know how they made the remastered graphics?
Anniversary, right?
Yeah. So I'm switching between the two, right? So it's great because they made it really cinematic, but even the original is really good. But switching between the two mid cutscene is so funny because you get this epic music, like all this remastered music, and all of a sudden, and then you switch and it's like,
the characters are just like,
it's so funny. Like the different, like, obviously I think that what they had for the original is still incredible. I'm just like, oh, sure. Wow, this is a huge step up from Combat Evolved, but it's still so funny to switch between the two, between like really epic moments, like when Master Chief is putting in the bomb and then you switch and you're like, oh, let me switch back. Actually, it's way better the other way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they're 10 years apart, the original Halo 2 and the remaster that they did for the anniversary edition. So, yeah, that's how games are. But yeah, I mean, I remember just in the moment, Halo 2, even though it was the same console, the original Xbox, Halo 2 was a stunning looking game when it first came out, by just without anything to compare it to. But when you did compare it to the original Halo, it was a huge step up visually. But yeah, the ever advancing march of progress means that by 2021, now 2022, the original Halo 2 from 2004 doesn't really hold up anymore in the visual department. But
why can't we dual wield anymore?
That I know
so
it
cool.
was. It was a gimmick. Yeah.
No. And then,
but okay.
Yeah, it was
a human SMG. And then also the plasma SMG and what? Oh my God, I do so much damage. I'm playing on heroic with my friend, and it's oh my God, we just shred through people. It's so fun.
And let me just speak real quick. So Miranda Sanchez, I should have said this at the top of the show. She is extending her holiday break a little bit, so she should be back next week. Miranda would say right here, dual needlers. That's what Miranda would say.
Oh my God.
Which can just shred someone instantly.
It's so fun. Oh my God. It's so fun. I don't know. I'm really enjoying Halo 2 so far. Like it is so fun, but it's also very frustrating at parts because you know the bridge segment where you're supposed to pick up a weapon? My friend decided to be a jerk and destroy all the weapons except for one tank that he was in. So I had to walk the entire way across the bridge. So
that's a good level. Oh, that was
what, so good. So that means you beat Halo 1. What'd you think of Halo 1's ending?
It was really good. I was like, huh, I really wish I had grown up with this because I understand the impact it must have had on a lot of people, including my best friend who I'm playing this with. He's just like, yeah, now you understand like all this stuff, like all the things I was explaining to you when we were in high school. And I'm like, yeah, I see it. This is really cool. And he's just really happy that he can share that experience with me. And I mean, oh God, 2022 now.
Stella, did you happen to finish Halo 1 on Legendary by chance?
Oh. it was Legendary or Heroic? Because
you
there's the
Legendary ending of Halo 1 is hilarious. You would know it. So just look it up on YouTube if you.
Okay,
if
okay,
you
okay.
It's not
maybe
canon.
It's Heroic then. Maybe it's Heroic then because I don't remember anything like. Okay, cool.
I don't want to ruin it for you. But yeah, check it out. It's worth. You'll enjoy it. Now that you've finished the game and you've got the context, you'll appreciate it.
Okay, cool.
All right. Let's get some news going. And I want to start with the headline topic now that we're 21 plus minutes into the show. So as you saw from the title of this episode, Xbox Game Pass wasting no time in delivering some awesome stuff in 2022. Let me go over what we've got coming up this week and next week. So it's even just the first half of January. So, okay, Goragoa. All right. Elijah. Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. The Pedestrian, Ember. And then, again, for Miranda, I wish Miranda were here, Outer Wilds coming back to Game Pass. And then next week, January 10th, Spelunky 2. Shout out to Andrew Goldfarb. Whoa, whoa. That's one of his favorite games. And the Anacrusis, which is a new one. That's from Chet Faliszek Studio. He was one of the creative minds behind Left 4 Dead 2 at Valve back in the day.
Oh.
Destin, Ryan, I've left the game out, though. Can you help me out? I think I might have forgotten one.
You missed the little game people are excited about. Mass Effect game. Legendary Edition in its entirety is available on Friday, January 6th. The whole thing, part of Game Pass. Now, nobody listening to this has any excuse for having never played Mass Effect at all. definitely check it out. They did a really good job with the first game and making it playable. It is dated with a lot of the mechanics, but I'm really excited to see more people play. And then there's also, of course, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3. It has all the DLC. It has all the crazy armor like you saw there with one of the characters wearing all the DLC armor. It's a tremendous value. Definitely give it a go if you haven't. It's one of the best RPGs ever made. So
I have a question for the three members on this panel, for y'all. Renegade or Paragon?
Ryan!
The answer is Renegade.
Renegade.
Stella, I know you're so here's what I'll say is the reason I chose Renegade for my playthrough, and I couldn't resist as I'm still in the middle of it. This Game Pass announcement is just reminding me to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Renegade, the fact that it fully supports you playing in a pretty evil way, I just want to see what it's gonna let me do. And it lets you go to some dark places. So I think it's worth doing a Renegade run. Now, I saw, what was it? I think it was way back. Sorry, not to derail for too long here, but I believe it was the last time Peter Molyneux was on Unlocked, which is a number of years ago at this point. But I had asked him on the air how many people, he had the statistics in Fable, how many people played good versus evil? And it was something like 90% of people played good and only 10% went evil, which probably on a social commentary level is a good sign, right? That most people are just, even in a fictional video game where there are no real world consequences, choose to be good. That's probably a good sign. But Stella, I would say if you are so inclined, the Renegade playthrough in Mass Effect is very interesting and oftentimes hilarious.
I think 2 was where I really leaned into it a little bit more, especially since your cheek would glow more the more Renegade you went. I was
crack with evil. pouring through,
it fuels my soul. Okay.
Destin, you're a good man at heart. I know.
Now,
if you're playing it for the first time, I encourage you to just sort of play through and make the decisions in the moment how you would react to the situation. I think that's the best way to do it. There are some bonuses for going full Renegade or full Paragon, but you don't really need to. One of my favorite things is the ending for a Paragon playthrough of 1 has a very unique cutscene with Saren where you skip half the boss fight, basically.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but I'll never forget that happening. So if you've played it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, just...
It's a very sort of classic old-school approach to... old-school RPG approach that you don't really... Now that you're making me think about it, Destin, you don't really see that in anymore. Like, that choice, that gameplay, what happens?
I've never seen anything like that when you're playing good to have such an outcome like that.
Yeah.
And then, I love the story. Just talking about it again gets me excited. Saren's still one of my favorite video game villains ever because he actually thinks what he's doing is good, truly, but he's actually being manipulated by his own biotics, basically. And it's just such a interesting narrative device with how they develop that character. I love Mass Effect. Everybody knows that. Please give it a shot if you haven't.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm just looking it up now because I have to remember the name of it. And Destin There's a book that came out before Mass Effect did that was written by the writer of Mass Effect, Drew Karpyshyn. And the book is called Mass Effect Ascension. That's the correct one, right, Destin?
I don't have it near.
Let me just double check.
I own that book. I think Ascension came later. It might be the first one. But anyway, the book tells the story of Captain Anderson.
Oh, Revelation. I think it's Revelation.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Prequel, yeah.
So it talks about the character Anderson and the character Saren and why Anderson has such a distrust of Saren. It really dives into both of those characters a lot more. And there's subtle context about what happened. They nod to it in the first game. A great book. Just like Halo Reach is a great book to read. Halo, The Fall of Reach is a great book to read ahead of playing Halo.
Yeah.
Or after, whenever. It's just a good novel if you want more context about the Spartans and Halsey and everybody. That book is a great book to get more context about Saren and Anderson. And it's probably the best book out of all the books. I've read all of them except for the Andromeda novels.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. To any listeners out there who may be playing Mass Effect period for the first time since the originals, you know, it's a good bit of an old game now. So if you're going to be playing Mass Effect for the first time starting this weekend as the full Legendary Edition heads into Game Pass, I echo Destin's sentiment. I think it's worth reading Mass Effect Revelation because, you know, I know it's, you might think, well, what do I really want to give myself homework before playing a video game? Mass Effect's story is so good. It's one of the most beloved RPG series ever. You know, if you think you're probably going to play the whole trilogy, I definitely recommend reading that book first because it really sets up Mass Effect 1 in particular very well, and which then informs, of course, the entire rest of the trilogy. So
alternatively, they could play through 1 and you'll be teased about the book basically throughout the whole game. So then if you're like, all right, Ryan, I gotta know what happened, then you could read the book like whichever order you do it in. It's recommended for sure.
Yeah. I read it before Mass Effect 1, like back in the day, because again, I'm old and definitely, it made Mass Effect 1 better for me, I would say. So
good.
And Mass Effect 1 is still my favorite to this day. Most people say Mass Effect 2. That seems to be the most popular answer, but, I'll take ride or die with ME1.
Me too.
Thank you, Destin.
That's why I like you, Ryan.
On a related note, so yeah, I mean, Game Pass, it's, how can you argue with 120 plus hours of role-playing goodness? I mean, yes, this came out 10 months ago at this point, but you know, it was already a remaster of a game from, I guess, what is now 15, it'll be 15 years this November, the original game. But again, there are a lot of people that still just never played Mass Effect for whatever reason. So it's just Game Pass continues to deliver value wise. I can't wait to see what Microsoft has up their sleeve for Game Pass this year, because if they're kicking it off with, I mean, you know, Mass Effect is a good get. Yes, Microsoft's had a really good relationship with EA. With Game Pass, of course, the EA service, EA, what the heck's it called again? I'm blanking on it now, but the you know, the EA.
EA Play?
Well, no, that's not it, is it? It's the whatever their $10 a month. Is that what it is? Is it EA Play?
Actually, it is now.
I always think of EA Play as that's what they call their E3.
Yeah.
I always think of EA Play. But anyway, that was on Xbox long before it came to PlayStation. And there's been that good relationship. But I mean, no, Mass Effect's one of the biggest games in EA's portfolio right now to the core gamer, the same core gamer that's probably a Game Pass subscriber. So, you know, EA is cool to give that up for Game Pass. And it's just yet another perk for everybody with a Game Pass subscription, which is probably most people watching or listening to this podcast.
A great January game, too, going into the other months. So like we know Crossfire's in February, which I'm a little less excited about. But Tunic, Stalker 2 in April, Starfield in November, Scorn slated for this year. And then Redfall is slated for 2022 sometime.
Summer was the last was the first date we were given. So we'll see about that one.
Sure. Fall.
But yes, I would guess coming right up. Yeah, you make. I mean, Tunic is the one that I'm going to be laser focused on for March. So that's the one that's circled in ink on my calendar. I don't think there's going to be anything else that bumps that one out of the way. I think Tunic I'll be playing day one for sure.
I'm excited for that one. I don't know if it's on Game Pass. That's the only one where they haven't clarified if it's on Game Pass or not. But all the other ones I listed are. Yeah.
I
couldn't definitively answer that one, Ryan. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't believe that, or at least if it is, it hasn't been announced yet. So, but just buy, you know, hopefully it's going to turn out well. And if it does, we should buy it, because that was Andrew Schuldice. Basically one person spent years making that game. And if it turns out as well as the demo did, if the full game's as good as the demo, then we'll want to vote with our wallets and support that. On a related note, real quick, here are the games with gold for January. Maybe not quite as impressive a lineup, but if you've got a gold subscription, they're there if you want them. Neurovoider, available all month long. Aground, starting January 16th, running for a month after that to February 15th. Radiant Silver Gun, from now until the middle of the month. And Space Invaders Infinity Gene, from January 16th to the end of the month. Well, I've heard of one of those games, and it's Radiant Silver Gun, which I've heard good things about. And I don't know if anybody has any commentary on these, but it's more of just a PSA. Because, yeah, it's three of those four I've not heard of. But, hey, they're free with your gold subscription. And crickets
I haven't played these.
Yeah, we have. It's, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Let's get to something that we do all know about, which is Remedy Entertainment, one of our favorite developers. Destin just mentioned Crossfire X, which, all right, neither Destin nor I particularly were fond of the preview build of that one that we played before the holidays. But they, of course, made IGN's 2019 Game of the Year, Control. They are currently developing Alan Wake 2, the very long anticipated, highly anticipated sequel there. Well, they've got some more irons in the fire. Remedy has signed a global development licensing and distribution agreement with Tencent. Tencent seems to be just extending its tentacles out to more and more of the games industry these days.
Yeah, makes me a little nervous, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, that, and we
they're buying up
that.
Everyone.
Like, yeah, we can get into that here in a second. But they are not buying Remedy. They have simply signed an agreement with Remedy for a new cooperative multiplayer game codenamed Vanguard. Now, of course, nothing to do with Call of Duty Vanguard. And it's just a code name. According to Remedy, this project will be a free-to-play co-op PvE shooter that combines Remedy's narrative expertise and action gameplay into an immersive experience. The game will be developed with the Unreal Engine for both PC and consoles, and while Remedy will develop and publish it for most of the world, Tencent will localize it for selected Asian markets, which makes sense because Tencent's a Chinese company. As it stands, it is only currently in the proof of concept phase, and the development budget up to the that's none of that's important. So, yeah, that's a bit of an interesting and somewhat surprising announcement, only because Remedy also has a deal separately, as they remain independent, with Epic for Alan Wake 2. They also did Alan Wake Remastered, and I think they've said there's another project. There's another game that's going to be part of that Epic deal. So, Stella, your thoughts here on Tencent hooking up with Remedy? That seems like an interesting and unexpected pairing, and for a multiplayer game, no less, when Remedy has been, you know, they've made their bones as a single player developer.
Yeah, it's definitely weird, and it's an agreement. It's not them acquiring the studio, but it's also something. So them saying that it's a co-op PvE game makes me think of Tencent, who just bought Turtle Rock Studios,
right,
which did Back for Blood. So I'm like, are they also going to bring them into the mix? Is there something that they're going to borrow and, you know, maybe collaborate on? I'm, again, like Dustin said, I'm wary about Tencent, but this game could be cool. I mean, the world of Control and the world of Alan Wake, which I can't play because it is very, very scary. they're very good. Like, they're very good and they're very immersive worlds that you want to know more about. Like, the lore is so interesting. So I feel like they could do something really cool with that. I think we need more information. I can't really make a judgment call on this yet. Sure. I think we need more information, but with it being a PvE co-op multiplayer game, it definitely made me think of Tencent having just bought Turtle Rock Studios. So
I'm glad you brought that up because I should have just put that in the show notes. So thank you for remembering that because, yeah, that was a big story over the break, too. Before I throw to Destin, I do just want to add, Stella, if you are interested in Alan Wake, it is not that scary. It's really more of a thriller.
Okay.
Because I'm not super good with scary games either.
Okay.
Now, of course, we know from when I was lucky enough to sit down with Sam Lake down at the Game Awards, they're going all in. Alan Wake 2 will be scary. It is a full-blown survival horror game. But yeah, the first one's not. I don't think it would keep you up at night. I don't think it would freak you out. It's got some, you know, thrillery, creepy parts, but nothing that I think should scare you away from playing it.
I think the atmosphere, I did try playing it a couple of years back. I think the atmosphere really had me creeped out. I had all the lights off and everything. And I was like, ooh, I need company when I play this.
I can respect that for sure. Destin, are you surprised here by this partnership and just the fact that it's a multiplayer game?
A little bit. The whole Tencent thing is like everybody's talking about Microsoft acquisitions and Sony acquisitions lately, but Tencent has stake. Like, they own Riot Games. They bought Turtle Rock. They're investing in this company. They have investments in Epic Games, Supercell, Don't Nod, Ubisoft, Activision. They have Bungie. I know they partnered with Bungie for a game. They're trying to make a stake as one of the major players. And the more and more companies that they invest in, the more and more that's becoming a reality. So when we talk about EA, Activision, what's another one, Ryan? Ubisoft.
Right.
Tencent is on that list now. They are a major player in the gaming industry, and I think we should be paying attention to what they're doing.
Yeah, you make a good point here. You've inspired me to pull this up. The Wikipedia entry under foreign gaming investments, meaning outside of China, it is so long. So I'll just start going real quick. They completely own Funcom now, who has been they're a solid developer. They've done the Conan games. They own Liu, which is apparently it's Hong Kong based, but they own Splash Damage and Digital Extremes, our two developers. Because Digital Extremes' big game is it's been going for a while. What can one of you help me on this one? It's a very popular game.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'll just get it real quick because before to save our audience from furiously typing in the comments, Warframe. There we go.
Oh,
sorry, yeah. My brain doesn't work yet in 2022. As you noted, Destin, they own Riot. As Stella brought up, they just bought Turtle Rock. They own Shark Mob. They own Valhalla Game Studios. That's Itagaki's outfit. I don't know if he's even still there. Supercell, they have 84% of. Grinding Gear Games, 80%. Epic, you mentioned, Destin. They have a 40% stake in Epic. So not a controlling interest, but a significant one.
And Sony has a heavy investment in Epic also.
Yeah. And then you just keep moving down. You mentioned Dontnod, 22%, Bloober Team. So, you know, these smaller chunk investments, but still, boy, they've got their hands in a lot of pockets here. They're in a lot of wallets, I guess, in the games industry. I mean, yeah, even Remedy, they have a 3.8%. That was part of this deal, a 3.8%.
They're a major, major player. And a lot of that happened in 2019 and 2020.
Yes.
And I think people are starting to take notice and realize, whoa, hi, Tencent. They're like one of the major companies now.
Yeah. Oh, and that's not even to get into their television and movie. Like they've been financing movies, and they're a big deal in all of entertainment. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how their influence affects the games industry. I mean, I hope that they are going to instill a culture of valuing developers and treating developers with humanity and respect, and not enforcing crunch. And the story of Tencent in the games industry is yet to be written, but it is going to be written now, as they have got a lot of involvement in a lot of studios. But now, yeah, with Remedy of all studios. Now, one other thing I found interesting about this in particular, and I almost can't help but laugh, is so Alan Wake 2, which is, of course, being published and funded by Epic, makers of the Unreal Engine, Alan Wake 2 will use Remedy's own in-house Northlight game engine, which they've used in everything that they've made. But as I read in the original story, this Project Vanguard for Tencent will use Epic's Unreal Engine. So I just thought that was kind of strange that you would think that would have been the other way around. But no, I think this is, to my knowledge, this is the first time that Remedy will be using an external game engine. They've always built their own tech and used their own tech. So we shall see how this plays out in the coming years. There, of course, Sam Lake specifically, and I think the bulk of the team is probably busy with Alan Wake 2, because as this story noted, this game's still in the proof of concept phase that doesn't even have a public name yet. But there you go, kind of a strange story here coming out of the first of the year. All right, we are already starting to run out of time. This is good, because in the sense that I thought we'd have nothing to talk about this week, but here we had plenty of Halo chatter, some Mac, always good to talk Mass Effect. And now we'll move to the Unlock Block Trivia Challenge.
Ooh.
Jeremy from Kansas writes in with a good one. And I have to admit, so just to, first of all, I feel bad Miranda's not here. I mean, I'm glad she's on vacation and taking some time for herself. But this is now both to both of you, not just Destin, who I know is hyper competitive, particularly when it comes to the trivia challenge. But Stella, this is your first full year on the show now. Yay. First full calendar year. You've got as good a shot at that trophy as anybody else, which I do. We do have an audience member who has kindly volunteered and is working on it.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's a lovely tradition that it's become. And we have such a wonderful audience and a lot of talented people that have made some really killer trophies. Like, Destin, do you have any handy by chance that you can show Stella?
They're all on the shelf behind me, still I can't see it, but anyway.
I don't know if can we go to Destin's one shot for a second. I don't know if we can. Are there any back?
You can't really see it. That one right there.
That was in front of your desk forever. Remember seeing that.
Cool.
Yeah, so we have a phenomenal audience with Unlocked here, who is, again, very talented, and always, every year, it's a different, very creative Xbox-inspired trophy. So, Stella, cute. It can be that. Yours for 2022, and the game starts now. Oh, Jeremy from Kansas, good question here. I was stumped on this one, and I have to admit, I feel like I should have known this, but I did not. So we'll see how both of you do. Jeremy asks, Gears of War has one of the most iconic guns in gaming history, the Lancer, of course. Mm-hmm. However, the Gears universe is not the only place where the Lancer can be found. In what other Xbox Game Studios game, what other first-party game has the Lancer appeared in? Was it Bleeding Edge, who you may remember that one from Ninja Theory, Wasteland 3 from InXile, The Outer Worlds from Obsidian, or State of Decay 2 from Undead Labs? So this is a great question from Jeremy. Do either of you know it?
Nope.
Let me ask that first.
Do not know it.
No. Okay. No. So we are, and you, again, I'm in the same boat. Jeremy would have stumped me as well. Well, let me go to Stella first.
Oh, good.
To kick things off, since we're all just kind of in the same boat of trying to guess on this one. What do you say, Stella?
I'm stuck between A or B, Bleeding Edge or Wasteland 3? My initial guess was B, so I'm going to go with B.
Okay.
Usually, if I stray from my first guess, I end up regretting it. So, oh my God, please.
Fair enough. All right, so you're going with Wasteland 3, the post-apocalyptic nuclear fallout RPG from InXile. Destin, how about you?
I don't know why Bleeding Edge jumped out to me. It doesn't make any sense that it would be Bleeding Edge. State of Decay 2 seems like the more likely answer because of their tie to Microsoft. And I don't know. Can I have a little bit of a hint?
No, I didn't get one. Why didn't you get one?
I just want to know where Undead Labs is based. Are they based in Canada?
Where are they based? I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's not really relevant to the question. At least I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I mean, Undead Labs is in Seattle.
Well, that's right across the bridge from Vancouver, which is where the Coalition is. I'll go with my gut. I'll say Bleeding Edge.
Okay. See, all right. So, Destin, if it makes you feel better, I probably would have gone with Bleeding Edge myself because it was a free to play multiplayer, you know, sort of a unique 3v3 multiplayer game with a lot of different fighting styles. Like, I probably would have thought it would have been that.
Is it Team Ninja who did Bleeding Edge? I can't remember.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Or excuse me, not Team Ninja Theory, which is
Ninja something. Yeah.
Ninja Theory. No, Team Ninja, they're a very different studio than Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
But yes, it was our friends who make Hellblade were also behind Bleeding Edge.
Oh.
Thankfully, so Destin, you are again, I was thinking right with you on that, but we were both wrong. Stella is correct.
It's Wasteland
3.
Yes! All right. Yes!
Yeah. Let me just pull up. Oh, we even have B-roll. Look at that. Red, our super producer Red, right on it to start the year. Yeah, he says, Jeremy noted, it can be found in the southernmost part of the world map in a highly radiated area. You can find the Lancer. So thank you, Jeremy, from Kansas on that one. If anybody else out there has an Xbox trivia question, please send it in. I could use just a refresh of good new questions to start the year. You know, we don't want anything so silly and obscure that nobody could reasonably get it. But also, we don't want the obvious ones or the ones we've done a million times. Just, you know, think about it. Think of a good trivia question and then email it in. The address is unlocked@ign.com. Use the don't forget the full question, the four multiple choice answers and the note the correct one in your email, and I will, of course, we'll play again next week. But for the time being, Stella is up 1-0 on everybody else. I will make that note here, and we will play again next week. So, got time to wind it down. Let's hear first from Stella. You want to just promote anything you've got going on, Stella, your stream, your social media, anything else?
Sure. When I'm not here on IGN, I am streaming almost every day after work. So 6 p.m. PST on twitch.tv/ParallaxStella. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Destin, how about you, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I just got back. So buy my cookies soon when I figure out how to do all the business stuff. But if you're in California only, which is apparently a thing, and you can check me out on YouTube, I guess, and I'll be getting back into the swing of things here at IGN this week.
Same here. Yeah, getting back into the swing of things. Looking forward to it's going to be a good Xbox year. 2021 was the best Xbox year in a long, long time, and we're going to keep it rolling in 2022. You know, Destin mentioned some of the things we have to look forward to, like Tunic, like Starfield, Redfall. It's going to be good. We'll be here with you every step of the way, every Tuesday. I know the show usually publishes around the end of the business day on Tuesday. So whenever you want to listen to it, it will be there for you week in and week out for Super Producer Red, along with Stella and Destin. I'm Ryan. This was Podcast Unlocked 525, a palindrome, kicking things off for 2022. And we will see you back here next week.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.